Chapter 5. No Turning Back. Abigail walked into the church, and I followed her. She went up to the podium, next to her father, and raised her hand until there was silence. All eyes were on her now, and I could tell she loved the attention. "I was there that night in the forest," she said. Everyone looked at her in amazement. "Girls, those of you who were there with me, don't be frightened. Come forward. We didn't do anything wrong. We were just playing. Come on, step forward." The first to step forward was Gertrude Morris. Her parents looked at her in shock. Then another girl stepped forward, and another. Soon there were 12 girls standing on the podium, and the crowd stared at them incredulously. The minister addressed the girls. "I admire you for stepping forward. You're not being blamed for this, because I know that you're all victims of witchcraft." Then, the minister asked the girls if they knew who was bewitching them and making them do this. If they confessed, he said, they would be released without punishment. All the girls looked at Abigail, and for the first time, she looked scared. Trying to hide her responsibility as the organizer of the dance, she said,
"It was Tituba! She made us sing and dance."
"Tituba, you're under arrest for practicing witchcraft and for bewitching these poor girls," the minister declared. "You will be hanged tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Tituba screamed in terror as guards appeared and tied her hands behind her back.
"I didn't do anything wrong," she protested. "I'm not a witch. Please help me."
The next morning, Father and I went to the gallows. Mother didn't want to go, but Father said he wanted to go there and tried to convince Governor Howard to stop the execution. As the governor, he could annul the sentence of the minister. Father didn't want to take me, but I insisted because I wanted to show Tituba my support. The town square was very crowded. I saw my father making his way to Governor Howard. I watched him as he talked firmly to the governor, and saw his expression get angrier and angrier. Michael's father shook his head and was obviously not in agreement. I felt desperate. When the moment came for the hanging, I couldn't watch. I hid my face behind my hands and closed my eyes. I felt hot tears coming out from between my eyelids. Once it was over, I opened my eyes and looked up. Tituba's dead body was hanging from the end of the rope. The crowd started dispersing. Many of them looked relieved, as though Tituba's hanging would put an end to their fears and troubles. How stupid they were! I looked at the suffering expression on Tituba's face, and my whole body shook in horror. I knew at that moment that Salem would never be the same again. We had crossed a line that day, and there was no turning back. Father and I walked home in silence, each of us immersed in our thoughts. As we approached the front door, it opened suddenly, and our maid, Mary, ran out.
"You'll be sorry for this," she shouted at my mother, who stood at the door.
Mary slammed the door and turned round, surprised to see us.
"What's going on here?" my father asked Mary.
"Your wife, sir, is a witch," cried Mary. "Your family is controlled by the devil. I hope I never have to see any of you again." Before we had time to respond, she turned and ran from us. We entered the house and asked Mother what had happened.
"I caught Mary stealing again, and I fired her," Mother explained.
"This is not the first time, and I'm afraid she'll keep stealing. At first, she begged for forgiveness. But then suddenly, she became furious and started accusing me of witchcraft." Father was very worried.
"This isn't good," he said to my mother. "This town is insane at the moment. Someone could point a finger at someone else and call them a witch, and they could be hanged the next day, like poor Tituba."
My mother tried to comfort my father.
"Don't worry. Nobody will believe Mary once they find out I fired her."
How wrong she was.